see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. There's armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
It is going by the book, family. Every line, every dot, every tittle. It's going exactly by the book. Family, this is the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. 1 hour, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you hear it by now, if you don't hear it, it's too late anyway, because you would have known it Eastern Standard Time before I started talking. Family, today's been an interesting day. I do a ministry, apparently, on the Facebook and the website and internet and so forth. It is a ministry, obviously. Family, they're hitting on all cylinders. You've got good Christians out there, good folks that are caught up with these lying preachers. I've got disdain for them, even more now than ever. Rabbis and priests and popes and preachers that are under the 501c3 churches. They don't tell their parishioners that they're controlled by the government through the 501c3 tax-exempt status. Ask your preacher to see that. Let him show it to you. Shouldn't be no secrets, right? Let him show you the letter that they get from the 501c3 IRS. Tells them what they will preach, what they won't preach. Tells them which Bible they're going to use and what they better not use. It's a very threatening letter, actually. And then the ones that's joined these ridiculous councils and committees, the Council of Foreign Relations, National Council of Churches, Council for National Policy. That's your right wing, LaHaye, Palin, James Dobson, Missler. They all belong. Look up the Council of National Policy. It's a right-wing, secretive group, subversive to the American Constitution. That's a fact. Under the Council of Foreign Relations, family, the Council of Foreign Relations is the Illuminati, worships Lucifer, is briefed by the Joint Chief of Staff. Family, do you understand how Lucifer has integrated himself into every country, into every government? This is how Lucifer, they say in our preaching that we hear that Satan is prince of this world. He's God of this world. 1 Corinthians talks about it. Paul talks about it. Well, what do you think that means? The flesh in this world, the God of this world is Satan. But God of the universe, of the King James Bible, reigns over all. And he only gives Satan certain latitude to act, certain things Satan can't do, not allowed to. But the more we pull away from God, the more latitude Satan has to operate. Same-sex marriage in the States, increasing exponentially and worldwide, but in the States, makes him pull away from us. You put your hand in the bucket of sand, you pull it out, it doesn't leave a hole now, does it? You put your hand in a bucket of water, same thing. You pull it out, it fills up immediately. Right? Well, when you pull away God, Satan immediately fills up the cracks. That's why they're pushing all this same-sex marriage, abortion, child euthanasia in Oregon, drug, legalization of drugs, all that stuff. It's all integrated, and there's seven areas that Satan uses to keep us deceived, and religion is one of the seven. Philosophy is number two. They have objectives, milestones, committees, councils, got names of those that discuss these issues and how they're going to promote it. This is how Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, preacher, tell me exactly what does that mean? They're not doing it today. You have some, yes, but there's sparse and few. And they use a corrupted Bible, NIV. Very simply, let me be a history school teacher, and I give daily quizzes. Let's say, for example, I'm not, of course, but say, for example. And I pass out books that are used books, and you have some with torn out pages, and some are marked out with black magic marker for whatever reason, and you all get one or a bunch of them that are pages are gone or missing. They're just, how do you know? Well, they're not there. You know, that's the way you tell. Okay, prove it to me. Well, look, it's not there. Is that proof enough? And then it's marked out. How do you know? Well, look at it. It's black. It's marked out. Can you read it? No. Well, hello. So then I say, well, there's going to be a daily quiz, and you're responsible for the material I cover, and it's in your book, and you got to take it out of your book. Open book exam. And let's do it that way. Now, are you going to go through with that? Are you going to complain that, well, my page is gone? Or are you just going to sit there and do what the teacher says? Is it fair to grade you from a book with a missing page? That requires either a yes or no answer. It's the same thing exactly with the NIV Bible, New King James Bible, NASB, ESV, ABC, XYZ, Jerusalem Bible. It don't make one lick of difference. The King James Bible's got all the verses that God ordained to be in the Bible. 66 books, 40 authors, not 67, not 80, not 65, 66, inspired by God. And 40 authors, not 38, not 41, not 42, but 40 only. That one stream of translation has not been touched by man, but inspired by God to men that were righteous to him and transcribed perfectly as God oversaw supernaturally for his word to get presented. Since the Jews failed, it went to the times of the Gentiles. You'll find that in the Bible. And the Gentiles speak Greek. And then the Greek went to English, a universal language. How about, what's another universal language? There isn't any. So now you go to the NIV Bible. I got a list of 17 verses is missing. Now, preacher, explain to me why 17 verses are missing. How do you conduct a Bible study with 17 missing verses? How's that happen? That's just the New Testament. How about over 227 for the entire Bible missing verses? How's that work? How do you do a Bible study with missing verses? That's a satanic Bible. The same goes for every other Bible except for the King James. Well, they added to the King James. They added to it. Yeah, if you're missing salt in the recipe, what do you do? You add to it to make it complete, right? So it tastes good. Well, when you're missing verses because they don't have all the scriptures from the scrolls and manuscripts, what do? Yeah, when you got corrupt Bibles, you add to what's missing to make it up to date. It's called the King James Bible. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Or they belong to the National Council of Churches, which used to be the Federal Council of Churches. And in 1936 and before, the Federal Council of Churches, which is the forerunner of the National Council of Churches, was deemed as one of the most subversive communistic organizations in America in 1936 by the Naval Intelligence. And they were evil, man. Those Federal Council of Churches was funded by the Rockefellers fully. They created it, man. They created it. And they got caught. So they changed the name. And today, if your church is a member of the National Council of Churches, I'd be getting out of there if I was you. Tonight, we're going to talk about, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. And then we are going into talk about, finish up with the full armor of God. And we're going to talk about, if I get to it, we'll see, or either not tonight, tomorrow, the Trinity. It seems to be an issue lately. So we'll talk about the Trinity. If we get to it, to see how far we get tonight. Now, I had a sort of a slow start here the past 12 minutes. I like to start kind of easy, you know, and then kind of get into it. Anyway, Lord, tonight we thank you for coming together. Father, we thank you, Father, for this network, and Father, that we can share together, learn with each other. Father, we go through your holy word in the King James Bible. Lord, as you lead me tonight, Lord, I need help. Father, I reaffirm my faith in Jesus Christ, your Son who died for me, died for us all on the cross and was resurrected that I may now have life in him. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray that we have the authority of Jesus Christ over every evil power. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of his cross and blood, Father, we ask you to bind the spirit and powers and forces of this earth, the underground, the air, the water, the fire, the netherworld, and satanic forces of nature. Father, to bind them all interplay, interaction, and communications of evil spirits as they would actually try to affect me, affect those listening in any way during the time of this Bible study. And those to follow. Father, I claim the protection of the shed blood of Jesus over ourselves, over myself, including our eyes and ears and hands and mind. As I read the Bible today, Father, we thank you for your protection. And Lord, prepare my heart. Listen to prayers of others and prepare their heart, Lord, to help us to receive your word and understanding without distraction from the enemy. And Father, to send your holy angels to fill the home. Fill my home. And Father, those praying to listen to their prayers and to fill their home and minister to them, especially as we read your word. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Father, to make sure that I don't miss a point, I pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, what are the false religions today? Some examples are, sin all you want, you're saved. Don't worry about it. You know, Jesus' blood does cover all sins and we're saved through him. His death was not a get out of jail free card or indulgence. It doesn't mean we will never sin, nor does it mean our salvation is partly based on being a good person. However, if our love for Jesus is genuine, we want to obey his word and not take advantage of his grace. They say the priests, the saints, and Mary are your intercessors. They can make it up if they want to. They can believe it if they want to. But they'll not find it talked about in the Bible. They can make up what they want to, anytime they want to. Call it a board game if they want to, make up the rules. But they won't find it in the King James Bible. That word's not to be changed. We're told there's only one intercessor between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. We're to pray to and call upon Jesus only. He established his purpose in life, his purpose, on the cross of Calvary. In the moment of his dying, later to be resurrected. In the moment of his dying, he said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." That was his first step of intercessory prayer. For you, for all those around him. From then on, 10 days later, the Pentecost comes down. How long was it exactly? When he ascended. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It was after 30 days he roamed the earth. He appeared and stayed with the disciples for another 30-some days, witnessed by 500 to ascend, and then 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, came down upon the disciples, because that was the fulfillment. There you go. Yeah. 120 disciples to spread the word of God, and that's when tongues was really tongues, not what it is today. Today it's not tongues at all. It's a farce, a fraud. They don't have interpreters. They just have words that people don't have a clue what they're talking about. I'm not going into that, tongues. I'll cover that in another Bible study. But 99% of the churches today say, "I prayed in tongues, I did this, did that." You have no clue what the dickens are saying. That's your Copeland and Hagee and... Or not Hagee, but, well, he's a Freemason anyway. Joyce Myers, all those that do the tongue. Jesus is the only intercessor. They say you can earn your way into God's grace through good works or rites or rituals. We know that's not true. Doing good works and turning away from sin are byproducts of your transformation through Christ. Translation is changing your body structure. Transformation is your soul turning to Jesus Christ and changing. Well, there is a difference. Enoch was translated. His body DNA was changed so he could be brought up into the supernatural realm, no longer flesh. He never died. Elijah, the same thing. Your transformation is becoming born again. These works and rites and rituals and holidays and all this is not the way to God. Salvation is offered freely through Jesus alone, not by works or rituals, so no man can boast that he saved himself. They say that there's many paths to God. Even Billy Graham says that now, and Robert Schuller says that now. Osteen says that. All of them say it now, that there's many paths to God. Why have they changed now since the 1990s? Could it be that that generation is ready to accept a universal Christ? The way that Tavistock has manipulated our generations of generations since 1945? Yep. There isn't many paths to God. All religions do not worship the same deity. Christianity is in question in itself. If it's true, Jesus would never have come to earth in human form to die on a cross. It's a more recent deception that has multiple purposes, to take the focus off of Jesus, to cheapen the gift of grace and please other faiths in the age of tolerance. It's not judgment. It's called reproof, correction, rebuking. That's a different story. They say that Jesus wasn't actually the Son of God, that Jesus was just a prophet. Muslims say this. Jehovah's Witnesses say this. Mormons has some semblance of this. Cousins or brothers to Lucifer. You got to be kidding me. They also take blood oaths. Jesus never actually came into earth in human form, or Jesus is just part of the salvation equation. That's a popular one among some. Well, actually, like nine different faiths. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Armstrongism, Christadelphians, something like that, Oneness Pentecostal, Unification Church, Unity School of Christianity, Scientology, Dianetics. Golly, you know, I did a little research on that. Man, these people, you pray for them. But it's getting rampant. Anyway, the Bible tells us to test the spirits and teachers and prophets. Even those claiming to be believers, they will fool you one side up, down the other. It's emphasized that anyone that denies Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not of God, but a deceiver. Furthermore, anyone who says Jesus is only part of the road to salvation and not the whole of salvation is not adhering to biblical teaching. And one other little tidbit, man can become as gods. Ho-ho, since when? And your thoughts are your reality. Really? Uh-huh. Well, then when you don't agree with them in these churches, they say, well, we're going to pray for you. You're dividing the body of Christ. And I said, you darn right I am. I said, yeah, Matthew 5, 33, 37. You think we're dividing, or I'm dividing, because I bring up what the King James Bible says versus your corrupt doctrine? You ain't seen anything. You wait till Jesus gets here. Matthew 5, 33, 37. He's not playing around. We put Jesus Christ above family, Jesus Christ above the country, Jesus Christ above all else, because everything else is going to fall the way. All is going to be left is Jesus Christ and a new beginning in the millennium. You see, that's coming. People getting too rested in their current situation. That's what it's supposed to be, to placate. Family, it's time to stand up for Jesus Christ. Not your house, home, religion, country, none of that. Jesus, family, Jesus. Then everything else will play in this role, but Jesus is number one. Above everything else. It's going to come down to that down the road. Where did I stop last night? Insights from the armor. We talked about the armor of God and the full armor of God. Standing in the presence of our enemies, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. I brought that up, and insights from the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness we talked about. Sandals of peace. At the sandals that the Roman soldiers wore had cleats on the bottom, like today's athletic shoes, provided stability in combat, and we call them cleats of peace. And the cleats of peace help us in times of war to stay connected to our understanding and foundation of love. And you know, it's interesting that when Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet," Romans 16:20. So when we love those who hate us and pray for those who persecute us, we extend the gospel of peace to a godless and destructive world. You see, humanity is the devil's enemy. He has no friends on this planet, so he's got to imprison them. The ministry of those disciples began about 40 days after his ascension. 40 days after he arose, he ascended. 10 days after that was the Pentecost. Full armor of God. Satan works hard to get people to destroy each other. He divides us in every which way possible. Jesus said, "Do not resist an evil person, but whosoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also." Matthew 5:39. I will be honest with you, that's easy said. Not easy to do. To really walk in the sandals of peace like he wants us to. That takes strength. We talked about that last night. We got to, I think, the shield of faith, if I'm not mistaken. Shield of faith was constructed with a wooden frame and covered by a thick layer of leather. The leather was soaked with water to make it fireproof. That was to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. The shield was 3 or 4 foot tall, about 2 foot wide. Big thing. Kind of made it large enough that a soldier could crouch behind it, protect his entire body from the falling arrows or fire, whatever may be coming. I imagine a 100-pound rock would be a problem. A regiment of soldiers could overlap their shields and create a wall of fortification from their enemies. We're called as believers. We call believers for a reason. Ultimately, the real war is waged on a battlefield of faith. What's going on today? To destroy your faith, they create fear. And you know, the simple but profound question is, whom will we believe? Will we take the easy way out or the right way out? Will we believe the enemy's accusations? Do we believe our circumstances or our well-meaning friends or the preacher we like so much? The religion we followed all our lives? Or the church we've always went to for generations? Or do we, will we believe God first? You know, there are 38 times in the Old Testament the phrase, the faith, is used to describe our walk with God. But I tell you what, make no mistake about it. The demonic realm is out to steal your faith by creating fear. And you know that serpent in the garden began his devious plot to undermine even the destiny of mankind that very day. And the words he used was, indeed, has God said. Let's go to Genesis 3:1. He used the words, yea, hath God said. He questions it. That's how you tell your shills and trolls. They use the same words, pretty much. The names have changed, but the strategy is old as Adam and Eve. Has to cause God's people to question God's promises in their lives. Do what is necessary. Undermine, twist, or challenge, or question, dilute, emasculate, weaken, pollute, contaminate, infect, dispute or disrupt the Word of God, debate the Word of God in the hearts of people. But you know, like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, not only on a national level, a world level, but individually, when we humble ourselves behind the shields of faith, refuse to believe anything that's contrary to the Word of God and the promises of God in our lives, we, like the shield in front of us, we extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Isn't that how Jesus did it in the desert, using the Scripture? The plot is exposed, scheme is destroyed, and the victory is assured by faith. Then you have the helmet of salvation. You know, the Romans back in the day had different kinds of helmets. One was made of leather with metal plates sewn to it. Put a new meaning to the word being hard-headed. Another type was cast from one solid piece of metal in the shape of a warrior's head. There's a story about Brutus Maximus. He fought a violent battle with his entire face covered with a mask of steel. He didn't cast the mask in his own image. Instead, he molded it in the image of his emperor, Caesar Augustus. Wearing it not only protected his face and his eyes, but said to his enemies, I see you through my emperor's eyes. I represent him on the battlefield. I'm fighting for his glory. That's got to be shaky. Would that shake you up? So when you look at the spiritual application to it, it's those that's been in battle or been in situations, you know that crazy things can happen in the heat of battle, especially noted in the book of Nehemiah. The enemy will do whatever it takes to steal your confidence away and undermine your relationship with God. They figured when they brought Goliath out, that'd be about it. And they say, bring your biggest champion. They figured no one could beat Goliath. Wouldn't have any chance. They thought no one would even come out. That was their atom bomb, if you will. Look at who you have to contend with. Come out, Goliath. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Okay, you know, I got the story right. But out comes this little David. Sticks and stones is going to break your bones, sucker, and you're going down. That's what happened. One stone, one hit. One shot, one hit. Down he went. That stone was guided by God. Then to make sure, he snitched off his head. With a head covered with the helmet of salvation, but that's what Goliath wished he had. I really don't think it made a difference, though. A head covered with the helmet of salvation will rest with the still waters of a kingdom mentality, though. Paul, of course, said it best. The peace of God will surpass all understanding. The peace of God which surpasses all understandings. In Philippians, in the King James Bible, you ever get a time when you feel the Spirit moving through you? You say things easily, you feel comfortable with it, literally go with the flow. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Let me check something here. May not happen here, but let me play a hunch and see. I got a question here. Let me check something. Y'all don't mind, do you? It may not pan out at all, but I want to check a little something here. Philippians. Oh, now why'd they do that? Okay. Philippians. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Which is a good verse to know. In Philippians 4:13, for example, they messed with it. I thought they would have messed with it by now, but they didn't. Well, it's a good one to know, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's one you want to put to memory. Philippians 4:13. Oh, my hunch was correct. What they've done is they've removed the word Christ in many of the Bibles. I can do all things through which strengthens me. They took out the word Christ. Ask your preacher about that one. Why in the NIV did they remove the word Christ? That's a powerful verse, family, but it loses its power when you remove the word Christ out. The name Christ is moved out. When it's no longer Christ is strengthening us, yet look at all the other versions that remove the vital doctrine. That's why so many people which corrupted Bibles accidentally quote the King James when they come to the verse. It's missing from most all of them. And even in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? They removed the word Christ out. Why do they do that? But to corrupt the word. And 1 Thessalonians 3:11, now God himself and our Father, our Lord Jesus, they removed the word Christ out. Gosh, quite a few of them here, actually. I got a list of them. Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky they are to corrupt the word of God. You know, the prophet Isaiah put it this way, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. If you go to Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. The quickest way to lose our peace in the midst of a spiritual conflict is for you to forget that your salvation came from His works and not ours. If our salvation was won from His works, or if our salvation is won through our efforts, work, then it would be up for us to fight to keep it. But we're not fighting for our salvation. We're fighting from our salvation through Jesus. See, our helmet of salvation is molded from this one-piece titanium verse called, "For by grace you're saved through faith, and not that of yourselves," Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then you read about the judgment seat of Christ. Then you read the great white throne judgment. It's by works. Yeah, that's because it's after. Those that go to the judgment seat of Christ, your works are rewarded separately from everything, everybody else, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And those that rejected Jesus Christ, at the end, toward 1,000 years, all through that time they've been in torment, then works have looked at, and you see that you're not in the book of life, but in the book of the dead, and your works may save you from the lake of fire, but you will be separated forever from Jesus Christ, from God, which is unbelievable pain and torment. It's after that decision has been made, after death you rejected Jesus. He did not create hell for humans. He created it for the angel, for the fallen angels and Satan. It's just when you reject Jesus, it falls in the same category. Many people come up and say, "I just don't feel saved." "Are you saved?" "I don't know," they say. "I hope so." Well, that's not a good answer. Salvation is not a feeling any more than being a human's a feeling. Can you imagine somebody going to a doctor and saying, "Doc, I just don't feel human anymore"? He's going to excuse himself and get on the phone and call some folks with a white self-wrapping coat. Or if you're in the military, you're shuffling to the door. You got your parachute on, going to jump out of the plane. Hook up, buckle up, and shuffle through the door. And your parachute packer is there. And you say to him, "You did pack my parachute, didn't you?" And he looks at you and say, "Well, I hope so." Or your parachute master says, "Did you pack your parachute?" And you say, "I think I did." Those are both wrong answers. Not a good answer at all. When he goes up to and says to the doctor, "I just don't feel human anymore." Doctor says, "Well, Johnny, do you feel like a dog? Maybe you've become a dog." What if he walks like a duck and talks like a duck? Then what, would it be a goose? This is all ridiculous, you know. But many Christians base their relationship on God, on their feelings. Family, that's also ridiculous. That's what they play on in these mega churches with the music. Tony Robbins on the pulpit. The devil plays on these emotional mindsets and putting us in the endless merry-go-round of insecurity. You must exit this merry-go-round with self-confidence, or you remain dizzy and disoriented, like going around in circles. The confidence has got to be rooted in God's ability to redeem us and not in the ability to save ourselves. And then finally we come to the last part And one of the most important parts, of course, is the sword of the Spirit. You know that the Roman sword was actually an 18-inch long knife, razor sharp on both edges, and was used in hand-to-hand combat. I never understood back in the days of King Arthur and so forth, those swords that were like took two hands and someone like Ventura to pick it up. I mean, come on now. Apparently they could use them. And then, of course, I do understand the samurai sword pretty well. That's logical. But the spiritual ramifications of the sword of spirits, and knowing that the Roman sword was sharp on both edges. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Now, it doesn't specifically refer to the Bible in this passage. But the Greek word here for Word of God is rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And most Greek scholars render as God-breathed, rhema, God-breathed, Word of God. Of course, it's Paul writing here. And if Paul was simply talking about the Bible being the sword of the Spirit, he would have more accurately used the Greek word logos. The Word of God that we use to judge the thoughts and intentions of our own hearts is a different sword than the one we use to defend ourselves against demonic assaults. It might be interesting to read it as Ephesians 6:17 is take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the which is the rhema of God. But then you read Hebrews 4:12 as the logos of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Whomever the writer of Hebrews thought to be Paul or somebody else, either way, it was inspired by God, meant to be put in the Bible, of course. It makes it clear that the Bible is the standard by which all thoughts and intentions of the heart should be judged. But you know, Paul is making a different kind of point in Ephesians, though. What he's doing is telling us that listening to the Holy Spirit in a prophetic way is proclaiming what he says is our only offensive weapon in this spiritual warfare. I've talked about in Paul's writing in Timothy to take the prophecies that were previously spoken over him and with them and fight the good fight, Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18. But the sword of the Spirit cannot be confined to just prophetic declarations at all. It includes anything God breathes which you're wrestling match with demonic powers. It could be on the internet. I've got several very interesting characters that are, two of them specifically, claiming to be fallen angels. Yeah, go figure. Calling me human. Crazy stuff going on the internet today. But you know, God often breathes on the logos and makes it rhema in the midst of our greatest battles. But you know, the most important thing to remember is that it's the Spirit's sword being welded out, produced, used. All of our offensive firepower is vested in the Holy Spirit. It's fighting your battles. He protects us, comforts us, and teaches us and leads us to all truth. So now in the future, when all hell breaks loose in our lives, and if it goes as far as the 7 years tribulation, you got to stay close to heaven by cultivating a relationship with God's Spirit. The term of casting out demons will take on a whole new meaning because that's what's going to happen. So you pray on the belt of truth. Circle around his truth. You pray on the breastplate of righteousness to protect you, your vital organs and inner man, and cover your integrity, your soul and your spirit, guarding your heart. You pray on the gospel shoes of peace. And then choose to stand in those shoes of good news and on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, your solid rock. Then you pray the shield of faith in your hand. You take up that shield of faith and ask that you might extinguish every dart and arrow that's launched from the enemy to take you down spiritually and physically and mentally and emotionally. To destroy your joy, cause you fear. Rebuke it. And you pray on the helm of salvation that will protect your mind and the thoughts that can lead you to stray. Protect you from being double-minded, that you would allow your mind, the command center for the rest of your body, to be then saturated with the mind of Christ, as in the mask of Caesar. You take on the role model of Jesus. And then take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you pray that offensive weapon into your hand and ask that the Word be fitted for every encounter that you're going to face. And pretty much it does. But you got to be able to find it, remember it, memorize it, bring it out in your words. Those are your spiritual weapons of armor and prayer that you've been given. This is the only way you're going to confront what's getting ready to happen when it massively increases. Militia won't do it. Going off the grid isn't going to do it. As some people say, we can hunt down the Illuminati and go to their homes. That's not going to do it. Oh, my. Oh, people actually believe that. Too much TV. Getting on a spaceship, living the earth, finding a little island somewhere to hide off of, or some place Midwest that you're going to go to the mountains and the Rocky Mountains or Ozarks or whatever and start your own little, I don't know, David Koresh thing going on. Who knows? That's not going to do it. This is a supernatural war that we're in. Renouncing your U.S. citizenship and becoming sovereign citizen, that's not going to do it. It doesn't mean it means zero. But I used all that as to placate those people to keep them quiet. It's all used to placate. It's all to keep us divided, placated, misdirected. But they lose. There's nothing they can do about it. So they're best bet is they're taking souls as they go along. Don't let them have yours. Pray your family back in the fold. Spiritual warfare. You can't anticipate the rapture. You can't anticipate the first trumpet of the tribulation. Because we don't know when. You'll know when it happens. There's no doubt about that. When it happens, then everything changes. You're in it. Are you prepared for it? It may not even happen this generation. Are we close to it? Oh, yeah. But God may stay it again. He may let it go on another generation. You don't know. That's why you get ready now. Because your judgment will begin. Your position in heaven or hell will begin the day you die. Then you don't have to worry about the rapture or worry about Armageddon and all that because your place of eternal positioning, I guess you could call it, has been determined. The moment of death. I guess some people are waiting for that horn to blow and I can see him. Okay, now's the time to accept Jesus. Well, it may not happen that way. It may not happen for another generation. You don't know. Time is to be ready now, not later. Tomorrow night, I am going to talk about the Trinity. We'll cover that as far as the heretical teachings of the Trinity. Depends how far I get into it. That's become an issue lately about the Trinity, that God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit are separate beings. Each has a separate job or position, but they're all separate entities. Well, no, they're all one, yet dimensionally different, but they're all the same. God, the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost are all the same, yet they have different positions. There's subordination within the Trinity, but still all the same. This is a part our minds cannot understand because we're not supernatural. The flesh keeps us back. Well, tomorrow night we'll talk about that, the Trinity and annihilation and so forth. I want to remind you all also that our broadcast and Bible studies are played up at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Highpointradio.net plays our broadcast and Bible studies on a random basis. For that, we're appreciative. He has sponsors there, family. He's got sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He's getting ready to expand his network, I understand. And you can find his sponsor on his website, I do believe, and use those sponsors. Give him a good name up there. Check out his website and see when he plays my broadcast and Bible studies. That's pretty much it. I don't have any other kind of business dealing with him. We're friends, and that's it, you know. And I'm very appreciative of him playing our broadcast and our Bible studies. It's my appreciation that I get from it. That's it. So I'm not into the commercial endeavors and all that. I separate that from anything else. I can do that now. Well, family, I got to go. And tomorrow night, on Bible study, we'll talk about the Trinity in detail, because the denial of the Trinity is coming up. I got hit on that all day today. And from Christians, hardcore Christians, that don't believe in the Trinity. You don't find the word Trinity in the Bible. I said, yeah, you're right. You don't find the word Bible in the Bible either, and you're using one. So in any case, these preachers are responsible. And boy, I tell you what, he's going to hold them all responsible. They have no idea. Lord, we thank you for tonight that we come together, Lord, in this Bible study. Father, we call upon you, Lord, to guide us in our lives, convict us when we fall away. Bless us, Father, when we fulfill your word and being obedient. Father, use us in your work. Help our families, Lord, bring divine appointments that, Father, they'll be brought over. We ask you to protect the children today, especially this month, this week. Father, these sacrifices are coming. To calm them, Father, to bring them to you, if that be the case, or let others to escape. Father, convert Wiccans if they can, Lord, that one will come to repentance and convert entire covens. Either way, Lord, to take away their sacrifice. Close those portals. Expose those fallen angels. But Lord, for us to guide us in your truth, lead us in that path so we can help others. Father, to help us be strong when we're tested. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, thank you all for coming by tonight. And still, I look at this Bible study as my Bible study. I mean by that, that I look at it my Bible study and I just share it. Because I have a network to do that. So whether there's one person or ten or none, it's still my Bible study for me to learn. I just decide to share it with others that want to attend it. And listen, instead of me thinking and reading, I speak it out loud on the broadcast on a network. That's how I look at it. Family, because the time to put this to use not only is happening now today, but when this paradigm happens, when tribulations really begin, you're going to be busy. You're going to be real busy. Everything you've learned, read, will come to fruition, and you will have to use it. I'm going to end in a traditional way tonight. And, oh, Dolly. Sometimes you wonder, I know. But he is alive. He's coming back. Y'all have a good night. God bless everybody. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock in our broadcast. We'll continue to talk about the perverse spirit, and I may do that all week because that subject, the perverse spirit, encompasses so many different areas. That's what's going on today. Not the Ebola, not the falling meteorites and sunspots and Fukushima and all that. It's a perverse spirit causing fear. That's what's going on today. And spiritual warfare, what needs to be done today. Good night, God bless. It's your watchman, I'm signing off. Have a good night.
Shining up from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted.